4 that kind of go hand in hand with 2 Peter chapter 3. Our Lord instructed His disciples in Matthew 24 and verse 42, "Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh." It's kind of ironic. Our Lord likens Himself to a thief, not in the criminal sense of the word, but in the way thieves are in coming when no one is ready for them. Read the story in the Reader's Digest of a trio of thieves down in Silver Springs, Florida, how they broke into a house. They were drug thieves. Oftentimes drugs will lead people to steal that they might feed their habit. This trio of drug thieves thought they hit the jackpot because there were 3 jars of cocaine in this house. They took the 3 jars home. After snorting the contents, they then discovered that the jars were actually urns. And they were snorting the remains of the victim's husband and 2 dogs. Oh my, people do the dumbest things, don't they? These thieves were, I guess you could call them, some bonehead thieves. There is many a story like that, but I don't want to get off on a tangent with the stories of dumb things thieves do. The Word of God tells us that our Lord is coming like a thief in the night. And if you've ever had your house broken into, if you knew it was going to be broken into and about the time it would be broken into, you'd be ready for them. I saw a sign down in Florida and it talked about, it was in the area of Fort Myers, and it had signs and posters all around in the front yard of the house, and it said, "Looters, beware, we believe in the Second Amendment." In other words, if you come, you're going to get shot. They were expecting the thieves to come, and I doubt very seriously any thieves or looters came there. Now, the reason our Lord uses this analogy concerning being a thief, I want you to notice what it says in verse 10. "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness." As Peter is writing, and he starts in chapter 2 talking about the problem with false teachers and how they came into even the church bodies and started spreading false doctrine. And one of the chief doctrines that they spread was they were teaching that Christ was not coming again. Don't believe in the second coming. In other words, everything's continued like it always has, and it will continue like it always will. Don't worry about the coming of Christ. They were mocking the Word of God. They were mocking the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the Word of God tells us, as we looked at last week in verse 9, that the Lord is not slack concerning His promise. God is not one who forgets. God is not one who is counted as lazy. When God promises something, He will bring it to pass in His own time. Man does not dictate God's time. God is working God is not slack. And as we looked at last week, that God is not like us. In other words, the Word of God tells us that 1,000 years is as 1 day. 1 day to the Lord is like 1,000 years. We don't look at it that way. If we lived to be 1,000 years, we sure wouldn't think that was just a day. But you know what you think about it? If you've lived to 80 or 90 years old, life is short, ain't it? Even so, in the Lord's sight, just 1,000 years, He can look at it just like a day. He's not like us. He is full of compassion. God is a patient God. And it's only because He is patient that He can show His mercies. He is a merciful God. And it's because of His mercies we're not consumed. God is not slack concerning His promise, as men count slackness. He's long-suffering. Why is that? He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God has been compassionate toward me through my life. If you're a child of God, you can say the same thing. You have experienced His tender mercies, even in the hardest times. God is compassionate. Because you still are alive and have breath, God is compassionate. Whether you know it or not, or whether you know Him as Lord and Savior, He is compassionate toward you because He has given you space to repent of your sin and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. What the Word of God is telling us in 2 Peter chapter 3, that His coming is imminent and that His coming is absolutely certain. Listen to what it says in Acts chapter 1 and verse 7. He said unto them, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in His own power." In other words, we don't know when Christ will come again, but we know He's coming again. We believe Christ's coming is imminent. It can happen at any time. You know what? If you believe certain things have got to happen before Christ comes again, you're not looking for His coming. You're looking for things to happen before His coming. We need to be watching for His coming, is what the Word of God is telling us. The Word of God says, "But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea, Samaria, and to uttermost parts of the world," or the earth. "When He had spoken these things, while they beheld, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, 'You men of Galilee, why stand you here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen Him go into heaven.'" In other words, He's coming again. The same manner as He left, He's coming in clouds of great glory. It is not given to us to know the times. It's not given unto us to know the seasons. When the kingdom of God will be restored, there are many people who look at prophecy. They label themselves as certain types in prophecy. I don't like labels. People can label me whatever they want. They often do whatever they want. That's all right. Many try to narrow prophecy down. But let me tell you what the prophecy is given for us for. When we look at the Word of God and we read about Jesus Christ coming again, that's prophecy. He's coming. But let me tell you the reason that prophecy is given. It's to motivate us unto godliness and unto holiness. Here is the purpose of Peter writing, that we might live godly lives, that we might live holy unto the Lord. Listen to what it says back in Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 12 and down in verse 14. "Follow peace with all men." Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. You see, Peter's writing, as the writer to Hebrews is writing, to exhort believers to live a holy and godly life. How are you living your life? I'm not talking about the economy, and I'm not talking about inflation, though it is sky high. Has anybody noticed that in their pocketbook that you're spending more money than you've ever had before in your life? We were up in Louisville just the other day. Gas is 40 cents higher up there. I'm like, wow. But you know, just because it's 40 cents lower down here, it's still high. How many of y'all remember, I'm a chasing a rabbit, when gas was 30 or 40 cents? I remember that. The gas crisis way back then, back in the 70s. I don't know if y'all think $3.40 for gas is too much, but it is. How are you living your life? What I'm saying is not how you're spending your money, how inflation's hit you. What I'm simply saying, are you living for things that pass away? Are you living for that which is eternal? The Word of God says in verse 11, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? In other words, most people live their life investing in things that are going to be consumed, looking for in the hastening and the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. In other words, notice the last part of verse 10, the works that are therein shall be burned up. Most of what people invest their time and their money and their energy in is all going to be burnt up. We've got such a limited view, and it's stuck in our present tense right where we are, that we lose sight of that which is eternal. God's Word exhorts us that we need to be looking for and hastening a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Are you looking for that? Are you still stuck on the temporal? So many people are stuck upon that which is temporal and living and wasting their lives. In our context here in verse 10, I want you to notice, and you cannot see this in your English Bibles, but if you were reading this in the Greek text, in which was the original language and format, the first words at the beginning of this verse, it's unusual, because when you go into other languages, oftentimes you'll have verbs before the subject and adjectives before the verbs or after the verbs. It's all mingled concerning the way we understand language, because we're in English. But in the Greek language, literally what this verse starts out with, it says, will come. I like the way that starts out. In other words, the Word of God is emphatic that Christ will come. You can have all the scoffers you want, all the mockers you want, people making fun of Christianity, making fun of the second coming of Christ, but this one fact remains, He will come. He is coming again beyond any shadow of doubt, and God's Word is emphasizing that. Him who we saw, as it says in Acts in verse 11, how we saw Him leave, He's coming back in the same manner. Listen to what it says over in the book of John. Over in John's Gospel chapter 14. John chapter 14 and down in verse 3. Jesus said, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. In verse 28 in the same chapter, he says, "You have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you." Jesus has gone away. But this one promise he hadn't yet fulfilled, but he will. He's coming again. You know what? He said it. And whether you believe it or not, that settles it. Oftentimes I read that little saying, "He said it, I believe it, and that settles it." You know what? He said it, that settles it, whether you believe it or not. God's word will stand true, whether people believe or not. Here, the Word of God speaks of the day of the Lord. But the day of the Lord will come. What is the day of the Lord? The day of the Lord speaks of God's judgment throughout the Word of God. Sometimes this talks about the day of the Lord in a very temporal sense when judgment is coming upon the nation of Israel. Sometimes it talks about the day of the Lord in a more larger sense when Christ comes again and judgment is coming down upon this old world. Now, you know what people do not like to hear in our day and time about the judgment of God? They do not like to hear that God is a God of wrath. But let me tell you something. You cannot separate the wrath of God and the love of God. God has characteristics, and just because you do not like a particular characteristic, that does not mean you can do away with it. I was sent an article by somebody that actually talked about, who writes in the Herald Leader, he talks about another writer and what he wrote. And what he wrote was concerning politics. I ain't getting politics this morning. But what this article was so funny about is that this writer berates one politician. He's after one candidate, and he really gives him down the road. And then after that, he says, very simply, we need to be more like Jesus. Instead of engaging in vicious political infighting, Christians would seek the common good of their neighbors and reject any idea of greatness that makes others small. After berating someone, you want to tell me about the love of Christ? You know what? There is so much hypocrisy in our world. I pray God gives us eyes to see through this. There are so much things that people want to cause division and divisiveness and hate mongering. And let me tell you something, our government's behind a lot of that. They like to cause division. Divide and conquer. People don't like to hear about the judgment of God. They want to hear the love of God. The love of God. Unless they got an enemy, then they'll talk evil about them. They like, as I've heard Brother Josh a time or two on this verse in Romans 2 and verse 4, it says, "Or despise thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads thee to repentance." Often through cords of love, the Lord draws us. And we do like to highlight that. We want to emphasize the love of God. But you cannot emphasize the love of God at the expense of the wrath of God. It's His kindness and goodness that leads us to repentance. But listen to the next verse. "But after your hardness and impenitent heart treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God." In other words, there is no separating God's wrath and His love. His love leads us to repentance. And I'm thankful for that. But there is also God's wrath that's going to be revealed someday. And you know what? If you're withholding telling people about God's judgment, you're not loving your neighbor like you ought. God is perfect. in His love as well as in His wrath. In Hebrews chapter 9, the Word of God tells us this. Down in verse 27, "And it is appointed unto man once to die." Can anybody finish that verse for me? "Then the judgment." You know what? We like to smooth over death and say they're gone to be with the Lord now. Just about everybody dies. Well, they're better off now. Let me tell you, nobody's better off if they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. If they have not kneeled before Him and acknowledged Him as Lord and Savior, they are not better off when they leave this world. They are suffering an eternity under the wrath of God. Therefore, we ought to be warning every man, teaching every man. I got some shocking news for you. All good people don't go to heaven. There are a lot of people that are good in other people's sight. They're going to split hell wide open because they know not the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 24, once again, Jesus is speaking. And what He says down in verse 37, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came, and took them all away, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be." What is Jesus saying here? Jesus is saying, it's a certainty that He's coming again. And you know what people are going to be doing? They're going to be doing what they do every day. They're going to be living their life. They're going to be, "What's for lunch? What are we going to eat for supper? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Would you marry me?" I didn't say that to anybody here. You know, I've already married you. But you understand what I'm saying. They're going to be going through life, and they're going through life, living their life, doing the daily things. And then, boom, the Lord comes. There ain't going to be time to repent. "Oh, I'm going to trust the Lord then." Don't play the part of a fool. But the sad thing is, in our day and time, there are many people who call themselves Christians that are living like they were living in the days of Noah. They are not looking for the Lord's coming. They're only living for the temporal. They're only living their life for the things of this life. Is that why church pews are not full? Because people are too busy living life. You know why many people are not in church today? Is because they're too busy with their own life. They got to do their thing. "And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the coming of the Son of Man." He's coming again. And you know what? We're living just like they did in the days of Noah. I want you to notice the suddenness of His coming. How suddenly all this is going to transpire and happen. In Matthew 24, once again, down in verse 27, He says, "For as the lightning comes out of the east and shines into the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." I've often used this illustration. I remember on the front porch at Mintel Park when I lived in the house, we lived in a house there, there was a thunderstorm. And I wanted to take a picture of lightning. I like photography. You ever try to take a picture of lightning? You know what? Lightning does not tell you when it's going to come. God does not say, "Get your camera ready. I'm about to flash. Boom." What happened? There was lightning and a thunderous crash, and it shook my porch and it shook me, and I ran into the house. I said, "Forget that lightning." Too close. Too close. Lightning does not give a warning. It flashes and it's boom, gone. Christ is not going to give you a warning that He's coming again, so you better repent. No, sir. As a lightning flashes out of the east and into the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. It's going to happen very quickly. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, is what the Word of God says. It's going to be unexpected. And for those who don't know Jesus Christ, let me tell you, great calamity is coming upon your life. In the days of Noah, if you think about it, they were building the ark. Years and years building the ark. Not 120 years, but years and years they're building the ark. As they built that ark, God's wrath was coming. Noah preached, Noah preached, Noah preached. Nobody believed him, nobody believed him. That old fool, he's building a boat. And ain't nowhere to float that boat. He's in the middle of a desert. Look at Noah build that ark. Huh, what a dummy. Then they went in that ark and the judgment of God fell. You know what, that's how certain God's judgment is coming upon this earth again one day. Not in the sense of rain or a flood. The Word of God says the heavens are going to pass away with great noise. This great noise is described as a sizzling or a whirring noise. And the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. In other words, this old earth is going to be destroyed like we know it. And the only way to escape is to get in the ark. You might be thinking, no, Pastor Steve, you're getting mixed up. The flood's not coming, but I'm telling you, the ark is a type of Jesus Christ. Your life must be hid in Christ, in God. That's where you believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're in Christ, and you're protected from the wrath of God. God is actually saving us from Himself. He's saving us from His wrath. You look at how all this is going to be consumed. Peter repeats it more than once. He says it in verse 7. He says it in verse 10. He says it in verse 12. That the heavens are going to be burned up. And the earth and the works are going to be burned up. He says it three different times. Why does God repeat something? Because our heads are like this, aren't they? They're hard. We're hard-headed. This is a solemn warning. He's warning, and he's warning again. What kind of effect should this warning have upon you if you're a child of God? If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, how does this fit into your life if you know that Christ is coming again? I want you to notice what it says in verse 11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be? Here the Word of God says, you're to be in all holy conversation and godliness. You're to be holy. Now what does it mean to be holy? Peter says this more than once. Look back in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 15. The Word of God says, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy. In all manner of conversation. This word conversation means your lifestyle. How you live your life, you are to be holy. Notice He says it once again in chapter 2 of 1 Peter, down in verse 12. Having your conversation. What's your conversation? It's your lifestyle. Honest among Gentiles. That wherein they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Look in chapter 3 and verse 16. The Word of God says, having a good conscience, that's whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. Now this conversation in Christ is not talking about you talking with the Lord. It's talking about your lifestyle. As you live your life, is it Christ-like? As you live your life, are you living your life holy unto God? You know what that means? It means to be distinct from this world. There's a difference between the child of God and a person who is not the child of God. We desire to line our lives up with the Word of God. And you know what? That is a stark contrast to what this world is offering us. This world is offering us, you can be whatever you want to be. You can do whatever you want to do. You can do great things. You can be a giraffe if you want to. You can be a hippopotamus if you want to. If you're a girl, you can be a boy if you want to. Listen to what this world says. That is not what God says. There ought to be a stark difference between your life and the way this world is trying to preach to us. We, as God's children, we should love and respect every person we come encounter with. It matters not what lifestyle they're living. It matters not what they think. We should try to love and respect each and every one and share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. Not beating them over the head with it, but sharing the love of Christ with them. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here is holiness. It's a life that's separated unto God. This word holiness is a little bit different than the word godliness. Now, what does it mean to have our lifestyle in godliness? The word godliness means reverence toward God. It means being more godlikeness. It means having an attitude, whereas holiness is talking about the action, how you're living it. The godliness is always having a reverence toward God. Wherever we're at in life, we reverence Him. We desire to honor Him, to live according to His glory. Here are what effects the coming of Christ should have upon the child of God. We ought to be all holy in conversation and in godliness, but we're also to be watchful. The Word of God says, looking for. This word looking for, we're looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God. That looking for means to be looking with some eagerness. In other words, there's a little bit of excitement in thinking about Christ could come again today. It's talking about a present situation. As I live right now, Christ could come today. Can you imagine if Christ came right now? Boom. How many would still be sitting in the pew? If Christ came right now, are you watching? Are you eagerly waiting for His coming? Listen to what it says over in 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 8, it says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, and for all of those who love His appearing. Do you love the thought of the appearing of Christ? Do you love the thought of Him coming again, and that you're going to see your Savior face to face? Do you love Him? Notice it also says, and hastening. What does it mean to hasten the coming of the day of God? Some people take this to mean we're hurrying up the day of God. Let me tell you, God don't get in a hurry. One day is 1,000 years to God. God ain't in no hurry. He's on His own timetable, so we don't hurry up God. This hastening means we're living according to God's will, doing what He's commanded us to do. And as we live, this day is hastening forward. We're looking for it, we're longing for it, and one day He's going to appear. We're looking also for the future. Notice in verse 13 it says, look for. says looking for in verse 12. It says look for. We look for a new heavens and a new earth. It's talking about a promise here. The Old Testament promises that this old world is passing away and there's going to be a new heavens and a new earth. It's found in Psalm 102. It's also found over in Isaiah 65, Isaiah 66. And if the Old Testament saints were looking for that, you know, how much more should we? John, in his revelation that Christ gave to him, he said in verse 21, or chapter 21, verse 1, "And I saw a new heavens and a new earth. The former things had passed away." John, it was revealed to him this new heavens and a new earth. Now, oftentimes we get to thinking, all that we're going to lose in this life, all that we might leave behind, that's not what the writer is emphasizing here. He's not emphasizing what you lose. He's emphasizing what you gain. Notice what you gain. You gain a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. No more sin, no more sorrow, no more pain. No more the effects of sin. Righteousness will be reigning. Oh, how much we are gaining. If you know Jesus Christ, let me ask you, are you living for things that will not last? Are you living for things which last forever? Are you living for the temporal? Are you living for the eternal? The Word of God is very clear that God's wrath is going to be revealed. It's going to be sudden. It is absolutely certain it's going to happen. And all the works that are done in this flesh are going to be burned up. Man, you know what? That hard work, Sister Brenda, out there on them bushes, they're going to be burned up someday. We're going to have burning bushes. That's biblical, ain't it? All this stuff's going to burn up someday. That's not our emphasis in this life. Our emphasis is, are you safe? Are you safe from the wrath of God? If you lived in the days of Noah and Noah was preaching, would you come in the ark so your life will not be destroyed? Would you believe? In our day and time, would you believe and receive? Are you in Christ? Have you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ that He died upon that cross for your sins? Are you living a life of holiness and godliness? Let me tell you, that's a challenge to each and every one here. If you're a child of God, you realize your spiritual poverty and how weak you are in the flesh. And therefore you lean upon Him. For the person who does not realize their spiritual poverty, what they do is they lean upon their flesh and their strength and their ability and not lean upon Christ. Are you safe in Christ? I can't see your heart, but the Lord does. The Lord knows you. He knows right what you're thinking right now. I wish that preacher get quiet. Wish he dismissed in prayer. God knows what's in your heart. He knows if your life is hidden in Christ. God has convicted you of sin in your life and how you need a Savior. Would you by faith trust Him? And as we give a hymn of invitation, would you step out and take Brother Josh's hand and confess to God and tell Brother Josh that you know you're a sinner, you need Christ. And I tell you this, that those that are the saints of God, what happens is we rejoice with you. Sister Barb come forward last Sunday and we rejoiced. You know what? Even the saints ain't met yet. You don't know everybody, but you know what? Every child of God rejoices when they see someone come to a saving knowledge of Christ. We get happy. That's an eternal happy that no man can take away. Would you simply respond as the Lord is leading this morning? Let's stand and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we know you're coming again. Lord, we ask that you'd help us not to get so caught up in everyday life like it was in the days of Noah, but that we would be looking with anticipation for your coming. Lord, would you work in our midst to magnify your name? We'll be careful to give you the glory for it, for Christ's sake. Amen. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation. Have thine own way, Lord.